Today on the Beginner Photography Podcast.
Clients can't necessarily tell the difference between good and great photos. They can tell the difference between good and bad. But if you try and sell yourself on the fact that you take great photos, that's going to fall on deaf ears as far as clients, because, you know, it might hurt the ego a little bit if you were to ask them. But they're like, oh, yeah, we're looking at this photographer and that photographer and you, and we love all their stuff. And you know them, or you've seen this stuff, and you, in your head, you're going, oh, my gosh, like, I'm way better than those guys, or whatever it might be, right? But they're like, so you're kind of insulted that your bride is even comparing you to them, right? And you're just like, man, like, why can't they see it, right? And if you try and sell yourself on that gap right there, it's just not going to work. So really what it comes down to ultimately is that experience.
Welcome to the Beginner Photography Podcast. Today, we're talking about how to use photography to deliver an incredible client experience. So let's get into it.
Welcome to the Beginner Photography Podcast with Raymond Hatfield, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your photography skills. Raymond interviews the world's top photographers in their field to ask questions that will get you taking better photos today. Now, with you as always, husband, father, home brewer, LA Dodger fan, and Indianapolis wedding photographer, Raymond Hatfield.
Welcome back to this episode of the Beginner Photography Podcast. As always, I am your host, Raymond Hatfield, and I just wanted to start off by saying thank you. Thank you to everyone who listened to last week's interview with Vinny Puglisi and left a review for the podcast. You know, hearing your thoughts and your appreciation has not gone unnoticed, and I'm blown away by the response, and it just, you know, goes to show that people really want to help people, and you are my people. So once again, seriously, deepest thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you. In fact, I want to give a quick shout out to Daryl, actually, who left the podcast a review in iTunes, and he said, "You need to be listening to this podcast. It is a great place to listen to Raymond interviewing photographers from all different genres of photography. I feel like this is helping me, quote unquote, find my place, so to speak, in the photography world." Daryl, man, thank you so much. I appreciate you, not only your listen, but also your participation in the Facebook group as well. Again, I appreciate you, and I gotta say thank you to everyone who has left the podcast a review. So today's interview, we're gonna get into this, is with a wedding photographer who is just killing it with how he treats his clients. And today he is going to share some great tips on how to care for your clients in more ways than you can imagine. Okay, let's get into this week's interview with Gavin Wade, and stick around after the interview where Gavin has an incredibly gracious offer just for you, the listeners of the Beginner Photography Podcast, that is sure to help you deliver a memorable client experience. Today's guest is Gavin Wade, a wedding photographer from Orange County whose clients cannot stop singing his name. And you have to see the length of some of the reviews that his clients leave about his photos. It is insane. Gavin is also the founder of CloudSpot, the client photo gallery and delivery system that has quickly won over my heart. Today, we're going to be talking about how to deliver a world-class client experience with your photography. Gavin, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks so much. Good to see you.
Yeah, it's good. We've talked on the phone a few times, and now being able to see you face-to-face, it's always so much more of an immersive experience, which is why I love the video aspect of podcasts. And if anybody is listening, these are also uploaded to YouTube, if you didn't know. So you can check this out, see Gavin's beautiful face right here, and just feel like you're really in the middle of this conversation. So, but Gavin, again, thank you for doing this. I'm really excited to talk about the client experience with you because you've been shooting forever, and you've shot now, like you just said, more than 400 weddings. That is insane to me, like insane. So obviously you're doing something right. Looking at your reviews, I haven't read a single bad thing about you. So either you guys are doing fantastic damage control, or there's nothing bad to be said, which is either way is fantastic. But before we get into the client experience side of things, can you share with me and the listeners how you got started in photography in the first place?
Yeah, absolutely. Gosh, I feel so old saying this, but yeah, going back almost 11 years now, I was dating my girlfriend, now wife, and we both had our kind of respective industries. Like, she had a degree in neurological psychology, I had a degree in kinesiology, so I was going down the path of like private fitness consultant. I was actually a consultant for Taco Bell, believe it or not, at the time, and she was also doing her own thing and owned her own business. And as we were starting to date, you know, we just found ourselves like coming back together when we would be out at dinner, just kind of complaining about our jobs and just kind of just like lamenting over and over how like we were just not happy. And, you know, we were only like 22 at the time. So it's not like we couldn't make some stupid decisions and still be okay between now and like finding our passion. But I just kind of asked her like, hey, if you could do it all over again, what would you want to do? If you could just, you know, hand wavy magic, it all just changes, right? And her response at the time was, oh, I'd love to do real estate or photography. And this was 2008. So nobody was doing real estate in 2008. But I looked at her, I'm like, oh my gosh, photography was something that like I really liked as well. I had known some people who had been in the photo industry, specifically weddings. I was like, I love their life. Like, they're shooting really cool things. They're working with cool clients. They're making great money. They get to seem like make their own hours. Like, everything, you know, on the brochure, so to speak, was looking really good. And I just wanted to maybe take a look at it more. And she's like, oh, okay. So like, do you want to try it? So, you know, that week we dropped our life savings on camera gear.
No.
Which, you know, I always joke sounds super glamorous, but it wasn't. We bought one camera body and one lens each. That was our life savings, right? So that was like, you know, but we're like, hey, at worst, we have a nice camera that we can take pictures with, right? If it all just goes to heck. And so they're like, okay, I guess we should start learning, right? So I kind of hit up some previous friends who I knew were in the industry, the ones that kind of inspired me, and ended up kind of getting a mentor and learning and just taking them out to lunch and picking their brains on just how do we start this whole crazy thing that is a photo business. And so, you know, here we are a few years later. And yeah, it's been one heck of a ride. Really, really had a ton of fun.
What was the reaction to your friends in the industry when you said, hey, I know that, you know, I work in fitness. I know that I have a degree in this, but I just bought a camera and I would like to start a business. Can you help? What was their reaction?
You know, nothing but positive. Seriously, like, you know, that next week after we got our cameras, actually some friends had come into town and there was a photo conference in LA. And so they literally like snuck us in. So they're like, hey, if you want to know what this is all about, like, go figure it out. Like, just sit in all these classes, talk with these people, start meeting these photographers, and just ask tons of questions. And so we did. We just showed up. We were just sponges for like 3 days. And we came out of that just affirming the fact that we really wanted to give this a go. So, you know, it was so supportive from our friends at the time that one of them actually became our mentor and really helped us kind of short circuit some of the pitfalls of starting a new business. So that was key. I mean, it was an investment for us, like all things, but we didn't go to school for it. So we're like, hey, we invested in our education for college and such. We should invest into this as well if we're really going to be serious about it and, you know, see where it takes us.
Yeah, no, for sure. So I kind of want to know how steep was that learning curve for you? Obviously, you two were very smart, college educated. When you picked up those cameras and you realized, oh, not only is there a lot of technicals, but there's business behind this. What was the hardest part for you to totally grasp?
Yeah, I mean, you hit it right on the head. It's, you know, when you decide, okay, I want to be a professional photographer, you have two huge knowledge gaps to overcome, right? It's the how do I run a business, right, as a solo entrepreneur more often than not, and then how do I learn how to take beautiful pictures and find my style and, you know, get that part of the workflow all nailed down. Quite honestly, I went into it not even thinking about the business side one iota. Like if I'm going to be honest, like, that's the part that wasn't on the brochure for me, right? And just smacked me upside the head really quick in terms of reality. You know, so it was that aspect that I really had the biggest knowledge gap to overcome. And quite honestly, it was one of the things I ended up enjoying the most, in addition to taking beautiful pictures, but like finding how all of that fits together, from the marketing to the editing to just finding our style. So yeah, it was more specifically accounting and taxes and, you know, all the things that go along with being your own boss. That was probably the most jarring things and hardest lessons we learned in our first few years.
Yeah, I bet. When you finally felt competent enough behind the camera and competent enough, I guess, in running a business, when did you walk me through the decision of leaving your previous jobs and deciding to go at this full time?
Yeah, so little wrinkle in there as well. So, you know, when we decided to start our photography business, we were still dating. Like, we were only 3 months into dating and we made this huge decision. So yeah. You know, my parents, I remember the time looked at me and go, you're going to marry this girl, right? Cause like, you're about to start a business. Like, you know, let's not put the cart before the horse here in terms of like things, life steps that you're taking. I'm like, no, she's the one. Just, you know, I want to make sure that we're all set up and everything. We were long distance anyways, which made it even more interesting. But so for that first year, we said, let's shoot as much as we possibly can, get as much experience as I can. I was trying to second shoot as much as possible. So, you know, we were kind of in that age range where our friends were getting married. So we had a little bit of a built-in referral system of sorts. And so we just started going for it. Within our first 6 weeks of getting our camera, we shot our first wedding.
Wow.
Which was, yeah, like talk about not feeling competent behind the camera or in business. That was like your poster child for that. But, you know, and then 2 months after that, we shot our second wedding and then so on and so forth. So we shot 28 weddings our first year. I probably shot 52 weddings in total between second shooting and our own shoots. And it's really just as much time as I could have behind that camera in terms of learning the ins and outs, because we shoot manual and we also shoot JPEG, which we can talk more about that later, I'm sure. But it was figuring out how to balance all of those things: ISO, aperture, you know, exposure, white balance, like all those things right out of the gate. We just went full on manual, because with JPEG you kind of have to nail that, otherwise you're SOL for editing. So yeah, it was a crazy ride. But about a year into it, so fast forward 13 months, I had proposed to my girlfriend. She had said yes.
Congratulations. So,
which was good. And then 4 or 5 months later, we were married. And then right after we got back from our honeymoon, within like 2-3 weeks, we both quit our day jobs.
You guys don't play around. So within like 6 months of buying a camera or 7 months of buying a camera, you two had not only started dating, but you got married, you quit your jobs, and now you're full-time wedding photographers.
Right. And first time newlyweds, right? First time living out of the house, let alone on our own, let together with like real adult bills to pay. And just like, anyways, life was just smacking us all over the place. Rent, utilities, camera gear, learning, like all this kind of stuff. So I wouldn't necessarily recommend such rapid succession of all of that, but you know, young, dumb, and stupid, and we thought we could do it, so we went for it. So,
and it clearly worked out. So, kind of where my head is going right now is that in those early days, you guys had to have made a lot of mistakes. Like, yeah. No insult on your intelligence, but when you're first getting started, you have to make those mistakes. And not only technically, I'm sure that you guys made mistakes in dealing with business, dealing with your clients. You know, can you share maybe some of those mistakes and how you learned from those and grew to where you are today?
Yeah, absolutely. And we made a ton of mistakes. I mean, to think you don't make mistakes, I would say that's the most unintelligent thing you could think of, right? So,
except for me, I don't make any mistakes.
No, of course not. My wife asks, I never make mistakes. actually, working shoulder to shoulder for 9 years, there's no way I can get out of that one. She knows I make mistakes. Yeah, I would say some of the earliest mistakes that we made, just like pick like in terms of technically shooting wise, in terms of editing, in terms of branding. You know, I would say what we did at first was perhaps invested a little bit too much money into the look of things, thinking that that's really all that mattered. Because at the time, this is when like blogging was really important, right? It's like, oh my gosh, if you don't have a blog, like you're not a photographer. Right now, it's like an Instagram. If you don't have an Instagram, you're not a photographer. But back then, blogging was just the way it really was going. So we like spent tons of money on like this custom blog and all that kind of stuff. And it's just, you know, some of those things weren't necessarily the right priority in terms of like where we spent a lot of our time in the early days. In terms of shooting, we made every mistake you could list in the book between shooting and editing, from selective coloring to that creative artistic tilt of everything like just all of it. I mean, my goodness, we just, yeah, just check all the boxes off in terms of mistakes. But you know, I mean, that's how we learn. And I think the thing that we did right is we were constantly asking for feedback from the people that we cared about. Like, we didn't throw it on the internet and let all the trolls go nuts on it. But like, we just asked, you know, the people that we value, that we wanted to be like, hey, what would you do? How would you tweak this? Can we buy you coffee and you just give us your thoughts, type of thing? So, But yeah, and then in terms of setting up our business and things like that, one of the biggest mistakes that we made was not allocating enough taxes and kind of knowing how all that worked, from sales and use tax to income tax, to all that kind of stuff. You know, we went from having a company withhold taxes from us all the time, you know, fresh out of college, to us now paying 30% plus for taxes all of a sudden at the end of the year when we're barely making rent. Like, it's just these types of, like, you know, reality continues to ruin our life type of scenarios where we just kind of figure that, hey, what's going on? So, you know, normal pitfalls, I guess, of just lessons learned. And there's so many more resources out there now. I would say the thing that we didn't have was great online educational tools, great communities like are on Facebook now that are geared towards helping photographers be successful. You know, educators out there who really go for it. There's just so much more out there now to be able to do that. So, I mean, that's great because barriers to entry are going down, but that also increases the amount of competition that you have out there. So it's, how do you set yourself apart? How do you be successful in this world of, you know, photography, portraits, weddings, whatever, when you could throw a rock and hit five photographers, you know, in any direction? So, you know, in our market, we had at the time in Orange County, and these might be names that you know or not because they're more older school, like Orange County, SoCal people, but we had Jasmine Starr was our neighbor, Mike Colon, Becker, Chris Becker, Jessica Clare, the Boutwells. Like, there, these were people who were like setting major trends and like doing things in the wedding world that were literally like around the corner from us. And, you know, we're shooting at the venues that we wanted to shoot at and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it was very interesting in trying to find how we could, you know, differentiate and work our way up. So,
yeah. So how did you make that decision? Growing up in your business, how did you make the decision to differentiate yourself from all the other wedding photographers?
You know, I would say one of the things that we had going for us was the husband and wife aspect. And also our age at the time was a huge plus. We kind of had first dibs on people who were getting engaged because we were right there. And so we identified more closely with those people who are in that stage of life. So that was just, you know, we kind of surveyed like who is our target client right now, and then what do we have in common with them most that can help attract them. So it's not like, oh, you guys got super lucky because you were that age. It's like, no, we identified who we wanted to work with and the strengths that we lean into in order to increase our possibility of working with them. Right. So let's say like now, if I'm starting my business, obviously I can't relate as well to a 23-year-old as I used to. You know, how would I do that instead, right? So there's other ways that you can just kind of do it's called a SWOT analysis, right? Strength, weakness, all that kind of stuff, like what you can be as a person, as a brand, and what type of bride that attracts.
Are you ready to transform your love for photography into profit? Imagine capturing beautiful moments while bringing in a little extra money for your family each month. Sound too good to be true? With CloudSpot, it's not just a dream. Designed by photographers for photographers, CloudSpot simplifies your business. Effortlessly organize shoots, send professional contracts, questionnaires, invoices, and enjoy faster payment payouts with the lowest fees in the industry, including PayPal. Forget lost emails and messy spreadsheets. CloudSpot offers a streamlined workflow, letting you focus on the moment. And here is the clincher. Grab your free CloudSpot account at deliverphotos.com and you'll get access to my personal wedding and portrait contracts and questionnaires. So don't let uncertainty hold you back. Embrace the future of photography business management with CloudSpot Studio. Sign up at deliverphotos.com today and transform your passion into profit.
So how has that changed over time from when you first started to where you guys are today? Because I'm sure that you're not shooting the same weddings today as you were 11 years ago.
No. I mean, we've been kind of, you know, up and up in terms of the types of weddings, the types of venues, the types of brides that we just feel most comfortable working. And, you know, our business has changed too, you know. We have two kids now. So, you know, one that's 6 weeks old. And it's like, how do we as a husband and wife team now, what does that look like? And you know, life throws us curveballs. When my wife was pregnant with our first, she got put on bed rest for 7.5 months. We had weddings booked out for, you know, 14, 16 months. How do you adjust? How does your business survive? How do you, you know, how do you tweak that? How do you, you know, be quick on your feet and make sure that this doesn't completely ruin things, right? In terms of your brand and in terms of your existing clients. So, there's lots of challenges in there, and that's just small business in general. But, we've definitely, in terms of how we continue to kind of change and evolve our brand, we've taken it more towards a relationally centric approach. And I would say one of the things that pretty much put our business on autopilot, if I could dare to even say that, in terms of referrals coming in, was the relationships that we built with vendors, and specifically venues. So at a point in time in our career, there were three venues that were essentially giving us anywhere from 15 to 20 weddings automatically every single year.
Wow. That's enough to like,
that was it.
That's a lot for people.
We had 50 plus weddings a year, and they would just come in and we would show up to the venue. And like, some people would be like, oh my gosh, that's so boring. But for us, because it was relationally centric, like every couple's different, every couple photographs differently. Like the light is different on every single day. Like, yes, it's the same vendor team in the same venue, but that's a strength, in my opinion, not a weakness in terms of the quality and the experience that we can deliver for our couples, right? Like to be able to sit down and go, hey, you know what? Like how much easier is it to close a couple when you go, you know what? There's nothing that you or Mother Nature could throw at us at your venue because we've seen it all, done it all, and here's like what it looks like, right? Yeah. And so that peace of mind that you can give to your couples, and you don't have to shoot at a venue tons of times and even order to close like that, but it's finding out those types of ways that instill confidence and kind of that breathe, that sigh of relief, especially for brides, that you're the right decision for them. And I can't tell you how many times in our brides' minds they've told us, we knew you guys were the ones before they even really saw a photo of what we took at their venue or anything like that. They saw our website, right, which are the highlights, but any photographer can have their highlights. It's once you get into the meeting, once you talk through the day, it's like, can they picture you shoulder to shoulder with them for 8+ hours? And do they feel like you've got them covered? So that's where that experience and that relationship, both with venues and with brides, can help kind of set that referral engine and kick that snowball down the hill a little bit.
Yeah. I want to go back a little bit because you mentioned, obviously, when you got started, young, 22, 23, you were around the people who were also about that age getting married. So you kind of had first pick, first dibs. But now as time goes on, 10 years later, I'm starting to struggle with this. How do you how do you feel like you still fit into the wedding industry? Are your brides now your age, or are they still the 24, 25 year olds who you were shooting, 10 years ago?
Yeah, it's a great question. We still definitely have our younger brides, when you kind of are no longer in that age range, now you kind of have some established seniority, right? Like you're like, okay, not like, oh, I completely relate to them. It's like now, wow, they've been there. They've done that. Like I feel secure in having a seasoned professional, right? Call me seasoned all the day long. Seasoned professional who knows my venue, who, I don't have to worry about them going to school off of my wedding. Right. And that's kind of something that we, can then identify as a strength for us at a particular place with that particular type of client. But obviously, as our price range kind of goes up a little bit as well, the types of clients that fit into that price range also, I would say, is a little bit more of an older, and then the average age of people getting married, at least here in Southern California, and I think in the US, it's like 28, early 30s, mid 30s. So we're still actually, believe it or not, that age range of when people get married is going up about as much as we're aging. So like, we're still kind of within that, I'm 34 right now. So if my couple's 31, 32, like it's all good. Like,
Yeah.
just pull my belt notches a couple inches tighter and I'm right there with them. So that's kind of where we're at. But it's mainly focusing on what types of brides do we want and what places do they go, and that kind of changes and evolves over time as well.
And that totally makes sense. When we were talking earlier about like the mistakes that you made in the beginning, I'm sure, having been in the industry for a long time, you've seen other photographers making mistakes. And especially now that you're running CloudSpot, I'm sure that you guys reach out to other photographers and find out what their pain points are. What are some simple things that many photographers overlook that you think can really impact their client's experience?
Yeah, absolutely. All cards on the table. One of the main reasons why people like cancel their service with us at CloudSpot is because they just go out of business. Like that's it. It's I wasn't able to get to where I wanted to go. And such, I'm just kind of throttling back. I'll come back when business picks up, if it picks up, if I pick up my camera again, right? Which just really bums me out, because, you know, ultimately the reason why, you know, kind of switched from being a photographer to more on the software side of things, serving photographers, is because really, you know, we want to be dedicated to the success of our own, you know? And so things that people overlook in the early days is, you know, and this might be a little controversial, it might not be, but I'm going to say it anyways, is that when it comes down to it, because there's so many photographers out there, right? Clients can't necessarily tell the difference between good and great photos. They can tell the difference between good and bad. But if you try and sell yourself on the fact that you take great photos, that's going to fall on deaf ears as far as clients, because, you know, it might hurt the ego a little bit if you were to ask them, but they're like, oh yeah, we're looking at this photographer and that photographer and you, and we love all their stuff. And you know them, or you've seen this stuff, and you're in your head, you're going, oh my gosh, like, I'm way better than those guys, or whatever it might be, right? But they're like, so you're kind of insulted that your bride is even comparing you to them, right? And you're just like, man, like, why can't they see it, right? And if you try and sell yourself on that gap right there, it's just not going to work. So really what it comes down to ultimately is that experience. It's making sure that you speak directly to where they base their decisions off of, right? And so that just comes down to getting to know your client. Like, I can't tell you how many times just the fact that Erin told them that she was going to be next to them during the day for the photos to make sure that they always were looking their best in terms of angles, in terms of dress, and in terms of hair and makeup. Like, that probably closed like 30% of all of our brides. Just the fact that they knew that they had another female there that was going to be on their side to make sure that they looked great. Because so many times bridesmaids just go and do their own thing, and the bride's like standing by herself, and it's just her husband and the photographers, right? So we, you know, we can kind of pick up on the fact that that's an insecurity of the bride and that she's really concerned about. So that's how we can add value, right? And so we speak to that. But you can't find the ways that you yourself are ideal in terms of adding value unless you talk with them and listen. And I'd say listen more than you talk. And that's just getting to know them. That's, you know, hearing how they selected their venue, hearing, you know, what they're most excited about for the day, right? And sometimes that alone just gives you like 8 different things that you can just nail and knock out of the park when you just ask them what are they most excited about and what are they concerned about for their day. And they basically just tell you, if you listen well enough, they tell you exactly how you need to book them, you know? Not that you lie to them, but you just pick out those things that you already are doing anyways, but that speak specific value to them.
Hey, Raymond here, and we're going to get back to the show in just a moment, but let me ask you, are you ready to start charging for your photography, but you just simply don't know where to start? Do you want a repeatable model that is easy to set up and grow with you? Do you want to make your first $100 with your camera? Well, let me show you how with my complete step-by-step roadmap to earn your first $100 with your camera that you can download absolutely free over at firstphotoclient.com. And honestly, even if you've been shooting for a while, the roadmap that is in this free download is still the exact method that I use today to book weddings. And yet, so few people are using it. That is a huge advantage for you. But again, only if you download your free copy right now over at firstphotoclient.com. Now, let's get back to today's interview.
What questions are you asking to bring out these answers from them to ensure that you're able to deliver exactly what it is that they want and will ensure them booking you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, having us, you know, gone through being married, like, you kind of have this point of reference, you know, you have your own war stories that you can swap a little bit just to kick off the conversation to make sure that it's a safe space. But like, the first thing is just like, hey, you know what? You know, you sit down, you're like, hey guys, great to see you. Like, how's wedding planning going? You know, I know when we were getting married, there were so many things that we didn't even think about. And this just kind of hitting us for left and right. Like, how's it going for you guys? Right. And we just sit back and let the bride just like everything, right? Because you know there's a lot of stuff. And so you just build this common bond with them, even just over that, right? And then, you know, as they start talking about things, you're like, oh my gosh, yeah, I completely get that. And you're like, you know what, the key to that we found is like, you need to delegate this, that, or the other. Or, you know what, it's so important. Like, we always make sure that you have this time, 10 minutes after the ceremony, just to relax and catch your breath, right? Get a bite to eat and then come back and we can start doing the portraits, right? Just, you know, because brides want to be in control, but they don't necessarily know what the day entails. Like, you know, as soon as a bride like we've always gotten these, received these timelines, right, where the bride has everything planned out to the minute, right? Yes. As like 8:24 is cake cutting, 8:53 is like grand entry or grand exit, right? And we just know as photographers that that timeline is going out the window literally the second that we arrive, because nothing is to the minute, no wedding's on time, right? But we can start guiding them towards like just best practices, like, you know, making recommendations on how the day can be successful. And more than anything, the thing that we would always say is our main goal is to keep your stress level as low as humanly possible. So whatever you can do in order to make sure that that happens, put it on us, because we want to make sure that you can enjoy your day. And a timeline that's to the minute is not making sure that her stress level is as low as possible, right? So we can make recommendations, just like when you're shooting, right? You're looking for places where you can be successful technically, right? Same thing when you're talking with couples in terms of booking them. You are hitting on things that will allow you and them to be successful together to give them great wedding photos, you know?
Oh man, that was such a great answer. It makes me rethink some of the ways that I've interacted with clients before in the past, and how that can change for sure. I love that. So just yesterday, you got a new review on, I think it was the Wedding Wire, from one of your brides. I did some research on you. Yeah. And your bride said, when reaching out to a photographer, Gavin, who responded to us very quickly and showed us that he is very talented, professional, and responsible photographer. This conversation had to happen. Oh, wait, no, I thought that was part of the review right there. This conversation had to have happened more than a year ago, and yet these things were still very important to her as she mentions them in her review. So clearly, the client experience is just one of the most important aspects of your business that you focus on. How do you communicate not only like your talent, but how you're responsible as a photographer to that potential client?
Yeah. I mean, so this was a client who booked us over the phone or online. So we never met with them in person. They were actually East Coast, and they're having a wedding on West Coast. Oh. And they're actually having a wedding in China in addition to here in the States. And so, you know, this was an interesting one to where like the ceremony was in Chinese and in English type of thing. Right. And so, it was not our typical type of wedding in the sense of like, oh yeah, like this is one that we shoot all day, every day. But the bride really valued photography, and she, more than anything, wanted to make sure that the logistics were being considered and taken care of. Because one of her biggest things was, I'm planning a wedding from afar. So many things can go wrong. I need to feel like I'm in control. So she, like, I was essentially like her anchor point here on this West Coast in order to let her know, hey, I know this spot. This is where the great spot is for lighting. I know this venue. I know the team there. So they already know how we work. And so what we're going to do is at X, Y, and Z point of the day, this is how I know we're going to be able to go and get you some great photos. And she already, like, I kind of painted the story of exactly what a day would look like with me as her photographer. And I didn't mention me at all. It's mainly just so that she can get a really good picture of what her day would be like. And she's like 3,000 miles away. So bringing her into that was one of the core reasons why I think we booked that wedding. It's because she knew that, you know, she wasn't going to have to manage me through the whole process, that I was actually, when we were together with her, that she didn't have to think. Mm-hmm. And that was the biggest thing, because that's all she was doing for the past 9 months, was just thinking and organizing and moving all these pieces around from, you know, so many thousands of miles away.
Yeah. How were you able to communicate that for, you know, as you said, it's very non-traditional, something that I'm assuming that you don't do much of when it comes to, you know, half English, half Chinese. There's lots of different traditions that I'm sure that they did at their wedding. So she specifically said, let me pull that up real quick. Talented, professional, and responsible. So how do you convey that, even though you've never done this before, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe you have done a half Chinese, half.
Tons.
Okay. I gotcha.
But that always adds for additional like challenges, right? Because communication can sometimes be a failure point, right? If English is not their first language, which it wasn't, and they weren't necessarily even fluent in English necessarily. And like parents and bridesmaids and stuff, like there are some people who didn't speak any English at all, but I had to direct them. And I was only shooting by myself. My wife was not with me because it had a newborn.
Yeah.
So it was just me. But your question is, how do you communicate that, right? Well, we chatted on the phone. So that was important. So I made sure, because I kind of got a feeling like this was, something that she was planning from afar, I wanted to make it personal. So we connected over the phone. And then she was just asking these questions. And I just let her ask the question, because I could tell right away that she was like, she had this list, right? These things that she felt like she had to ask, or the things that she felt like she had to get done. And she was wondering how I fit into that.
Yeah. And then your experience just came out naturally.
Well, yeah, it's just that allowed me to share with her kind of how we would be successful together in getting these things done and making suggestions that would help us be successful. Right. So I would, things like, hey, I know we're going to have a lot of group photos, right? Totally fine. I said, but you know what? I would really highly recommend. I said, like, who's your maid of honor? And like, great. And I asked him, who's your best man? I said, great. Like, do they know your families? Like, do they go way back? And they're like, oh yeah, they know our families. So I'm like, great. Each one of them, you're going to delegate them such that when it's come time for family portraits, they're going to go and find everyone at cocktail hour and they're going to bring them to us. We're going to be here, but they're going to come to us and we're not going to wait for them. We're going to go and grab them. We're going to be proactive. And then I'm going to have my list that, we all talked through, and we're just going to go one by one off those as quickly as possible, starting with the biggest group first and working our way down such that the very end, it's just the two of you and me, and we'll have the rest of cocktail hour to get great photos together. Right? Like, that paints a picture for her of exactly how something that was originally chaotic in her mind and didn't know what she was going to do, to now knowing exactly what she needs to do, and that translates into nothing. delegates it and I take care of the rest. And that, just gives a sigh of relief, whether internally or externally. Like, and so we just talk through that point or those parts of the day, and I just inject those types of feelings as much as I can. And it just comes down to confidence. It's kind of knowing how you best operate as a photographer, and the ways that you can be successful and bring them into that. So,
I got that. And I can see how painting that picture would really help when you just have logistics from so far away. And, planning a wedding is stressful. And then just removing just a little bit of that stress can really go a long way. So you talked a little bit there about like the group shots and getting everything together. When it comes to the wedding day, there has to be some sort of, I hate to say standard operating procedure, but there's a typical way that you go about like shooting. Do you have a specific shot list that you go off of? And if so, how do you make sure that you get all those photos?
Yeah. And what I do is I always send my couples a pre-wedding questionnaire, a week or usually 2 weeks out. And then once they give me the responses, we circle up via phone call and we just go over it. And generally it's not that bad, but like, let's say they give me a shot list that has 50 groupings on it, right? Which I've gotten in the past before. Like, I'm not just going to be like, okay, like no problem, we can do that in 20 minutes. Like, no way. Like, let's be real. Right. And so I just say, look, like, I know all of these photos like that you listed and I know how important they are. I said, but quite honestly, like, if you factor in 2 minutes per photo, we've eaten through more than an hour and a half of your cocktail hour. And that's no photos with the two of you guys. And I said, the thing that I'm most protective over is photos of the two of you on your wedding day. Because when you walk back down that aisle as husband and wife, it's crazy. Like, I've seen it happen every single time. It's the dynamic changes. It's now no longer like, you feel like it's no longer about you and bride and groom. It's, you feel like you're a host and you have to talk with everyone and be there for everyone because they're there for you. And really, photos can just get pushed to the background really quickly if you let the mob dictate like what's happening after you walk back down that aisle. So having that game plan is super important. So I'm like, look, we talked through it. I'm like, okay, we only have this amount of time. Which images are the most important? And can we do some of these during the reception? Great. Okay. And we talked through it. So stuff like that. In terms of standard operating procedure, yes, there's chunks. So like you arrive and she's getting ready, right? Okay. And he's getting ready. Like, what shots do you get during that time? What shots don't you get? Are they doing a first look? Right. And if they're doing a first look, I always try and like offload some of the family shots post first look before the ceremony starts, right? Immediate family, at least have them arrive early, have them be ready, have them meet us here at this spot, right? And again, delegate, people to meet you there. And then that way we can just go efficiently through things, but not rushed. And I always put a fudge factor in there too, right? So what I always love being able to say is, yeah, it's such and such a time, but that's okay. We've got plenty of time, right? Because what's the worst case that happens? You have more time to take beautiful photos. Oh my goodness. I hate it when that happens, right? So it's like, you know,
every
always,
photographer does. It's the worst.
I know. I mean, I wish we could have less beautiful photos on one day. So you know, it's really, you know, kind of setting yourself up for success even before the wedding day starts to give you that ability to get the shots that you need to get, right? Because, you know, and is every wedding day perfect? No, absolutely not. You know, like example though, the wedding that I got that review, she arrived 25 minutes late and they only had me for 6 hours of coverage. Short wedding day, even, and you know, they wanted to do a first look and family shots, and they had a sunset that they were chasing pretty much because it was fall and all that. So, I mean, it wasn't ideal. And there's a videography team, you know, so there's just lots of factors in there. So we just went quickly, you know, but I, you know, knew what I needed to get for her. I knew what she valued. And just kept on going. So, you know, do I have an exact shot where I like, okay, I got the shoes, I got the dress, I got the veil? No, I don't. Mainly just for family portraits and a timeline of the day. That's all I have.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So one thing that obviously CloudSpot offers is the ability to sell photos, right? Mm-hmm. Like take and sell photos. Are there any photos that you take at a wedding specifically because you know that there are hot sellers or anything like that?
I mean, any time that you can get a photo of two people together, you know, that's pretty much a print sale, like as far as I'm in my mind. And no, it doesn't always happen that way. Because in our packages, we give the digital files and stuff. So for us, print sales is always a nice to have, but not a need to have. But yeah, like, you know, I always make sure to ask them, like, what are the most important grouping shots, especially for the parents, because parents more often than not are the ones who are going to be buying the photos, right? So I always ask mom, hey, mom, is there any other groupings that you would like me to get during the reception? Because sometimes mom's invited her college pals or sorority sisters. You know what I mean? Like we know weddings aren't necessarily always for the couples or for the parents, right? So the parents have their list of people and their, you know, folks that are there. And so I just make sure that I let them know that I'm valuing the groupings that they have as well. Might not always be like right after the ceremony, but that to pull me aside and make sure that we get those. So yeah, those are important ones.
I think that tip alone is going to make a lot of photographers a lot of money, because that's something that you know, you think of, it seems obvious, but I don't think that you would actually go to ask. And I'm sure getting that shot for sure is really going to help out there. That is a fantastic idea. And that's going to change how I shoot a wedding. I'm excited for this. Yeah. So when it comes time to, you know, obviously interacting with everybody at the wedding, you really have to put on that business face, right? And give that client experience. And it's obviously important, but I want to know, have you ever had a time where you dropped the ball on the client experience that you could share with us? And if so, what did you learn from that? Hey, Raymond here, and I know that diving into the world of editing can feel like navigating a maze, especially if you're just starting out. So that's why I created our exclusive collection of 52 Lightroom presets, absolutely free. While presets can dramatically enhance your photos, they're not a one-click solution. They're a starting point for your creativity and an opportunity to learn and grow in your editing skills. These presets work seamlessly with all versions of Lightroom, whether you're on a computer or using Lightroom Mobile. And they're designed to simplify your editing process, adding that professional touch to your photos while giving you the flexibility to fine-tune them to your taste. So if you're ready to take your photos to the next level, head over to freephotographypresets.com right now and get editing today.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Let's see. I mean, there's obviously, I mean, not every single wedding is perfect, right? And most weddings are not. So, I mean, if we really wanted to dissect it, even that wedding that left me a great review, there's places where I fell down in the client experience, right? In retrospect and looking through like what I did or didn't do, like shots that I got or that I didn't get. Because I'm always wanting to just give my clients the world. So if I don't, then I'm like my own worst critic on that. But there have been cases where we have let down the entire couple, like where they have come back and said, we don't like any of our photos, right? And it's like, oh my gosh, like, how? Why? Like, was this different than what we showed on our website? No, it wasn't. Like there's nothing like technically that was different at all. So really what it came down to when the clients weren't satisfied with their experience, it came down to a failure on my end to set and manage expectations. And expectations that were not communicated by them to me. So, you know, as photographers, we're like, well, then it's not our fault because they didn't tell us. it actually is your fault, because it's your job to pull out those expectations and manage those and weigh those throughout the wedding day, right? So, you know, they maybe were wanting a certain spot or location that they saw in one wedding that you showed them that you just didn't get. And in their mind, they're like, that was the only shot that I wanted to get on my day. And I didn't ask that. They didn't tell me, but that was the unspoken expectation. So then it's a fail, right? So yeah, there's lots of cases like that where they've always usually boiled down to expectation mismanagement.
So in a situation like that, where a couple really wanted a photo in a specific spot, they didn't tell you, you didn't know, you didn't grab the shot. Now, do you just make sure that, you know, you ask for their suggestions or their input in things like that?
I do. And anything from down to what side the bride prefers to be photographed on, to any photos that they've seen, and I always position like on our Instagram or on our website or on our blog that they really loved. I don't say send me all your inspiration photos, because they're going to send me 50 other photographers with light coming at 10 different angles who have 10 different styles, and you just can't be successful in that case. I will say, you know, if there's things that you've seen that you love, I'd love to see it, and then we can make it our own together. So that kind of, again, manages expectations. It's not going to look identical to what you show me, but we're going to do something like it. And, you know, I hope you hired me because you like our style a little bit, and, yeah, you know, we're going to make our own version of it. So yeah, I definitely ask for it. And what I'll even do, is I'll even have those, if they do send it to me, I'll have them saved on my phone, on my camera roll. And I'll just say, okay, cool. Like, this is the one that we're going to go after together a little bit. And then like I do two or three clicks of that specific one. And then what do? I instantly change it, tweak it, and make it such that we've improved it. And now it's become their pose, their scene, their moment. And that's helped a lot. I would say the thing that probably, aside from like that, the thing that I, in my early days, didn't communicate well enough is how light behaves when certain situations occur. For example, a beach wedding, right? And let's say they're on the sand and it's, let's say it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, right? And it's bright sun, right? And, you know, their kind of backs are to the ocean, and the sun is more directly kind of more behind them than it is in front of them. Like, and unbeknownst to them, their expectation is they want to see crystal clear blue water and perfect exposure on them as well, right? Like, probably not going to happen from a color perspective or an exposure perspective because of the time of day and all the factors, right? Like, I've learned to just be very upfront about that, right? Because they'll probably show me some wedding that was shot on the complete opposite coast where the light's coming from a totally different direction that allows that to happen, right? Like East Coast weddings, when the sun's going down, that really helps. West Coast, not so much. You know what I mean? When the sun's coming right down behind you. So it's just talking about like what is actually possible versus not. And so the only times where we've gotten in the most trouble with clients' expectations being totally mismanaged is when they, in their mind or in their eye, they see something and they think that the camera can get exactly that. Especially when it comes to really horribly backlit or frontlit scenarios. So
yeah, that can be a big problem for sure. And I think a lot of new photographers can relate to that. They can understand because kind of before, very recently, when they picked up the camera, you do have this mind's eye, right, of how great a photo can look. But then when you go to pick up a camera and technically do it, there's the creative gap is just too large. So putting yourself in the client's shoes really makes sense in figuring that out. Now, I was going to ask, as a wedding photographer, you have like this big job, right? And it's to capture the events of a day in a very beautiful and artistic way. And as a photographer, how do you ensure that a couple's photos are not only personal to them, but unique as well? And I think that you kind of touched upon it there when you know, you ask them what photos of yours that they like, and then you try to get something similar, and then you make it your own and unique. And that's a fantastic tip. Is there anything else that you do, or could you expand upon that a little bit about making photos unique to a couple?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I don't just show up and say, well, let's see what I can do today. Like, I even prepare it as well. So like, if I've had an engagement session with a couple, then I kind of know like their mannerisms, like how they interact. I know their height differences. I know lots of things, right? So it can allow me, and I always encourage to do engagement sessions because, you know, I lovingly call it practice for the big game, right? And that's practice for all of us. And it doesn't have to be a big deal. It's sometimes mostly just an hour shoot, you know, at sunset, and that's it. And it's not pretty low stress. But what I'll do is I'll actually just pick out certain inspirational stuff, things to kind of jog my memory for what I think might fit this couple in terms of their personality and also body type. And then I just use that. And, you know, if anything, it says, hey, guys, like before today, I picked out a few things that I really think you guys can rock. And here's one of them. Do you want to try them? And then that kind of kicks off the collaboration there together. So it's not just like crickets chirping and cameras clicking and the couple's just standing there and they're like all in their heads going, is it good? Is it bad? Is it, you know, are we models? Are we not? Like, you know, and like they psyching themselves out. So I do that. And then I also just talk a lot with my couples while I'm shooting. Like, I can't tell you how many weddings that have second shot where like the photographer barely speaks to their clients. I was like, man, how can you, like, in my head, I'm like, cause I'm so relationally oriented. It's like, how can you do that and make sure that they 100% love you and can say positive things about the experience? And then when they look at the photos, like get excited about it. Right. So yeah, I mean, I just always approach it that way for couples in terms of just talking through it and showing them. Like, I show my bride the back of my camera and go, hey, you know what? Do you like that part, like how your hair is going this way, or do you prefer to have it like half front, half back? And like making that a team effort really helps ensure that the brides are going to love what you're going to deliver because they're a part of that, you know? And that's something that I did not do for the first few years that I really wish that I did. And you know, it's, you know, I learned it the hard way because, you know, I've got a female who's editing all of our images, my wife, who just turns her chair and goes, oh my gosh, why didn't you notice this thing? Right. Like the hair, like girls don't like being photographed from that angle. Like, and I was like, oh, well, I guess if I had shown the bride and we had talked through it, like we probably would have discovered that together. Instead, it's too late. Right. So, you know, take your lumps along the way, but communication is just key with clients and with whomever you're shooting with, if you have a second or a significant other.
And that I'm sure that is super appreciated by the brides, because, you know, just as you said, you know, sometimes being a male, you don't truly understand. I hate to say the insecurities, but the way that, you know, a bride may look at herself as opposed to how everybody else would look at her. And it's interesting because I never show my clients the back of the camera, almost because I feel like like there's more of a surprise. And if I show them a photo that they're not super happy with right away, then they're just going to assume that all the photos are just trash. And that's going to ruin their wedding day. And maybe that's on me, but again, that's something to think about for the future. And I like more of that collaborative effort for sure. That's gotta be my biggest takeaway for this episode. So thank you very much for sharing that. Coming to an end here, I know that we're almost out of time. I don't want to leave out CloudSpot, because CloudSpot is it's been fantastic for me in my business, and I want to talk about it a little more. From your perspective, being that wedding photographer, why did you even decide to start CloudSpot? Well, I guess before we get even into that, can you share what CloudSpot is, and then get into why you created it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, what is CloudSpot in a nutshell? You know, we are a gallery service for new photographers who really are looking for a solution to streamline, you know, delivering galleries, having it be in a really nice branded experience for their clients, but also streamlining their workflow. You know, think of it like a Dropbox on steroids, or if you could build something, then stamp your name on it for a gallery experience, for selling images, for delivering photos to your clients and giving them a great download experience that way, making it just seamless and easy for everyone. That's what CloudSpot is. So, you know, the whole tagline is fastest, most customizable way to deliver, share, and sell your work online. But what it really boils down to was me getting super frustrated with the experience that my clients were receiving when I was shooting their wedding. And so I just built the dang thing myself so that it could actually be something that I would be proud of for delivering something digitally and, you know, sending a gallery out. And so the problem was just me bashing my head against my desk when I was like sending my clients tons of weird, funky links to download and like galleries that didn't quite look representative of my brand, and that, you know, were slow, and it just bogged down my delivery time and my workflow such that I went back to like stomping DVDs with my brand and like burning them and sending them in the mail. because I was just so fed up with it. But like, so that's why CloudSpot came about. It's to help create a really easy workflow for me and something that I can be proud of when I deliver something online, and not the here's your Dropbox link, have a nice life type of experience. Because when you're looking to build a brand, for me, it was really important that my brand was very visible and present at every step along the way. And, you know, when you're delivering their wedding photos, that's like the crescendo of their experience with you. Like, your brand should be up front and center right there more than any other time, such that, you know, they share that out. It's more conducive to growing your business because they want to, you know, show everyone that they meet their cool wedding photos. So anyways, that's kind of the basis on to why I went down that crazy path of, you know, serving photographers in that way now, as well as, you know, just taking photos. So,
Yeah. So then, obviously, there is there's a lot of options for client gallery systems out there that photographers could sign up for. I think that you are in a unique spot because you have that real world experience as a photographer, and you know what it is that, you know, other photographers are looking for. So, can you tell me how CloudSpot is different from other client photo galleries
from the
perspective of, I guess, the photographer and the client?
Yeah, I mean, I would say more than anything, like, we took a client first approach to building out CloudSpot. Like, yes, we know photographers and our workflows are very specific. And so the little things that take 30 seconds now, if they could take 5 seconds, would really add up, right? Especially if you're building a business and working a day job, like, those weekend hours are precious. Those nighttime hours that, you know, you have in between eating dinner and going to bed and passing out is precious. So we have thought about that. But on the client side, I just put myself in their shoes and go, you know, what would I ideally want? I would ideally, you know, want a beautiful email from my photographer that has their logo on it, that has my photo there, that looks like it's a letter that they wrote just for me, and then gives me my gallery, a button to click. But also, I bought the high res from them. Like, I don't see that anywhere. Oh, wait, like, oh, here it is. They scroll down a little bit further, and there's the instant download buttons to get exactly what I paid for, or rather, as a photographer, what I want them to have instant access to. All the other gallery systems out there right now make you, the client, go through tons of different hoops just to download those photos, and like 8, 10, 12 different steps, and maybe 20, 30 minutes when it's all said and done, before you actually have those photos, not even including download time. So to me, that just felt like opportunities for grandma to get lost, for brides to get lost, for my business to kind of not look as good as it could possibly look if my couples were having trouble, you know? And it just, to me, just said, that's going to take me more time to serve the same amount of couples. So why don't I just streamline that? So yeah, that's kind of what it turned into. And then on the photographer side, it's really, how do you streamline uploading? How do you streamline image delivery? Not just of like all the photos, but let's say, you know, for me, vendor relationships were huge, as they are for a lot of photographers. Like, that's one piece that I think that's missing from a lot of photographers' marketing strategies. And it's a short-sighted one, because, oh, if I just market to my brides, I'll always have tons of work. Well, yes, but your bride's going to essentially forget about you about 2 months after that emotional window closes after the wedding day, because life moves on. But vendors, they're in the trenches with you all weekend, every weekend. And like, as a vendor, who doesn't want to work with their friends, right? So like, market to your vendors, like, hook them up just as much as you hook your brides up with a great experience. Make sure that your vendors have an experience that wows them, that makes their life easier, such that it's a no-brainer for them to refer you in the future, because gosh, you're taking tons of work off their plate and making them look good, right? So in terms of CloudSpot workflow, it's, how can I send images to vendors really fast? We let you create as many versions of a client gallery as you want without it taking up more storage. So I create a gallery for my bride, which has its own settings and everything, right? And then I create a gallery for my vendors that has only certain images visible. Maybe they can download from the gallery at a different resolution. You know, they don't need to buy or anything, so I turn off sales. That's a no-brainer. And maybe I deliver to, like, let's say the person who created the cake topper. I just want to send them 3 or 4 images. Well, how long would that take someone right now in another provider? Like, you'd have to find them in your hard drive, upload them to Dropbox, send something that's not so professional looking to that vendor, and hope that they download it before the free thing expires, right? So like, with CloudSpot, it's you select all 3 images, you click email, and they get a beautiful email from your business with a direct link to download those 4 photos. Like, wham, bam, it's on Facebook in less than 10 minutes, tagging your business and helping you grow. So like, things like that, that used to take me 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes, and sometimes I have to redo, now it takes me seconds. And it streamlines client side, streamlines vendor side, and streamlines my side, so that I can serve clients better, serve more clients if I want to scale it up, or just spend more time away from my computer.
Especially when you have a 6-week-old at home. That's important.
Yeah. Well, I mean, ain't nobody sleeping anyways these days, but yeah, it would be nice just to like not, yeah, be glued to a computer. So yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Is CloudSpot just for wedding photographers, or who can benefit from CloudSpot?
I would say any visual creative where images is what helps them build their business. So like we have wedding venues, we have real estate photographers, we've got even ad agencies who manage multiple shoots for multiple clients. But it's really important for them when they deliver the photos to their clients that their brand is the hero for that, right? And not the contractor that they had. So yeah, in terms of like anyone who needs to manage images like that or deliver them quickly in a streamlined way, like kiss WeTransfer and Google Drive and all that kind of stuff goodbye when you could stamp your watermark or logo or everything on this and that experience and make it personalized such that people, when they get it, go, dang, like Raymond's got his stuff together. Like, this is really nice. Like, yep, it makes sense. I paid him thousands of dollars to shoot my wedding. This is an experience that makes, that feels like it's multi-thousand dollar experience. So really anyone who wants their clients to have that feeling at the end of the day, in terms of deliverables, is who's an ideal person for CloudSpot.
And the best part, listen up for this, is that to get started, it's absolutely free. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely yep. free to create a incredible client experience delivered with your brand front and center right there. Gavin, thank you. So I'm going to have links to everything in the show notes that everybody can check out and go and sign up. I mean, you really have nothing to lose for a free account. You get free storage and you can really wow your clients so much more, like you said. Then I remember when I first started delivering photos, it was through Google Drive. And one thing that was about Google Drive is that I would I would make the folder and then I would try to send it, but it would take them, you know, first of all, it would just look ridiculous. It's like, oh, this is just a folder with my name on it. Okay, I guess I'll download this. And then when they would try, there would inevitably be some sort of error, like, oh, this is, like, you can view it, but you can't download it. And then have to go in and change settings. And it was a wreck. So a free service like this is fantastic. And obviously the ability to upgrade storage when and if you need it. But get started for free. So Gavin, thank you, man, so much for coming on and sharing everything that you did. This was fantastic. And I know that the listeners are going to get a ton to be able to take away. So again, Gavin, thank you so much for coming on. And I look forward to keeping up with you soon and in the future.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. Good chatting. Hope we can do it again.
It is clear that with Gavin's experience, he is a wealth of information and has a fantastic way of just looking at the whole wedding process, which is just so refreshing to hear, especially after, you know, 10 or 11 years. You'd think so many people just get, you know, burnt out or bitter about the whole thing, but Gavin has not and still looks forward to each and every wedding, and I love that. In fact, my biggest takeaway was just kind of how much effort Gavin puts into not only helping his clients, obviously, have a successful wedding day, but how he approaches working with other wedding vendors and working as a real team to make the day just run as smooth as butter for his clients. Because ultimately, it's not about you as the photographer. It's not being the best vendor, you know, being the most memorable vendor after the wedding. It's about your client. And anything that you can do to serve them is the ultimate goal. So that is just great info. And Gavin, if you're listening, man, thank you so much for sharing everything that you did. As I said earlier, Gavin wanted me to share an offer with you that if you want to start giving your clients a wonderful experience that they will remember, he wants to offer you 20% off of your first year of CloudSpot by signing up with the link in the show notes or just heading over to try.cloudspot.io/BPP for Beginner Photography Podcast. Again, that's try.cloudspot.io/BPP. But again, that link is in the show notes, and that will give you 20% off of your first year of CloudSpot. And if you're not ready to commit, I totally understand. You know, if you're just getting started, you can still use that link to sign up for a free account as well. And it's like, it's free. It's forever free. You know, if you
use it for what it is, then you never need to upgrade. So that's fantastic. So that is it for this week. Until next week, I want you to get out. I want you to keep shooting. I want you to focus on yourself. And I want you to stay safe. That's it. I'll see you next week.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, please leave us a review in iTunes or your favorite podcast player. And continue the conversation with Raymond and other listeners of the podcast by joining the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook group today. Thank you. We'll see you again next week.